Warning, this podcast contains graphic details of murder and other offenses. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Innocence Lost, Kids Who Kill. I'm your host, Nicole, and this week's episode, again, is about a teenage girl and forbidden love. Again, this seems to be a lot of cases is homicides that involve children killing their family members, either for rules or forbidden relationships. So I'm just going to dive right into this episode. And my sources for this week's episode, it was an article out of Murderpedia.com, an article off of CNN.com, and an episode of Killer Women with Pierce Morgan. And this week's case focuses on Erin Caffey. So we're just going to go right into it. So this week's case comes to us out of Alba, Texas, and it focuses on Erin Michelle Caffey, who was born on July 27th, 1991, to Penny and Terry Caffey. And she would go on to have two younger brothers, Matthew, who was 13 at the time of the murders, and Tyler, who was 8. And the family was well-rounded, and Penny homeschooled the kids, and they attended church on Sundays. And the whole family was in the church band and choir. And Erin seemed to really enjoy singing in the church choir. However, when Erin turned 16, she would go on to meet a 19-year-old named Charlie Wilkerson. And upon talking, they would eventually begin dating. And her parents did not approve of this relationship. However, they did not interfere. They actually hoped the relationship would end on its own, but that was not the case. In fact, that was quite opposite of what would happen. So Erin's grandfather would pass away, and they would bury him. And 2 days later, her parents would get onto MySpace and find Charlie's MySpace page. Now, MySpace was real big in the early 2000s, similar to Facebook with social media. Now, upon finding the MySpace page, they would go on to find out their 16-year-old daughter and her 19-year-old boyfriend were engaging in sex and drinking. And this was not okay with the family because this was not how they raised Erin. And upon talking to Erin, and this would be the end of February 2008, they would talk to her and explain to her, this is not how you were raised. This is not okay. The relationship had progressed so much in 6 months that it was bewildering to the parents that she was even into any of this. So at this point, they would demand her to end the relationship and to not see Charlie anymore. Now, teenagers, we know how that goes. She was not about to have this. She found something that she enjoyed that was not church, and she wasn't about to let her parents control her life, as she would put it. And 2 days later, on March 1st, 2008, her boyfriend Charlie would come to the house with his friend Charles Wade, and Wade's girlfriend, Bobby Gail Johnson. And upon arriving at the home, Erin would sneak out of the house in her pajamas and go to the car and sit with Bobby Gail while the boys made their way into the house. Now, the boys would burst into the house and go directly to the bedroom of Erin's parents, Penny and Terry. And at this point, they would go to shoot Terry and Penny, and Terry ended up being shot 11 times. But after they shot Penny, they would stab her with a samurai sword, nearly decapitating her and killing her. Now, assuming that both parents were dead, they would move on to the upstairs bedrooms of her brothers. And Matthew was shot to death, and Tyler, who tried to hide in a closet, ended up being stabbed to death. Now, again, assuming that everybody in the home was deceased, they would go on to light the home on fire and take off. However, Erin's father did not die. He ended up crawling 300 yards through the woods to a neighbor's house to call 911. And when authorities arrived, they found Terry, and then they would find the rest of the family deceased. And thinking that Erin had been kidnapped, the search began for them. They would find Erin at Mr. Wade's cousin's trailer and would end up arresting Mr. Wilkerson, Mr. Wade, and Ms. Johnson the same day as the crimes were committed. However, while interrogating Charles Wade, they would go on to find out that Erin, who they seriously did not consider a suspect at this point, was the mastermind. In fact, she had planned all of this in 2 days in order to free herself from her parents and allow herself to be with Charlie Wilkerson. So they would end up arresting Erin when she was on her way to see her father in the hospital. The thing about this case is, after Erin plotted and planned to execute her entire family, this girl had the audacity to try to go to the hospital to see her dad. And I find it interesting that she would want to see her dad after what she had put into motion. Now, this wouldn't be the most interesting part of this case. So, instead of the boys going to trial, Terry Caffey would ask that the death penalty be taken off the table, but he wanted to know why they had done what they had done. And the boys would go on to say, with zero remorse, that the only reason that they had participated in the crime was because they wanted to free Erin of her parents and what they were trying to enforce. And Erin would admit to what she had done. And on the episode of Pierce Morgan where he's talking to her, she does say now, looking back, that she wasn't the same person she was before she had met Charlie. So initially she's saying, you know, if I had never met Charlie, I don't think any of this would have happened. And in kind of putting it off that, you know, the relationship is what caused her to turn on her family. Now, they would all plead guilty. And Wilkerson and Wade were sentenced to life without parole. And Bobby Johnson was sentenced to 2 40-year consecutive, no, excuse me, concurrent years with parole possible in 24 years. Now, her father would go on to say he forgives everyone, including his daughter, because she was not, as he would put it, in her right frame of mind. Now, where I find all this interesting is that Aaron was sentenced to life in prison with the possibility of parole after 40 years. And her dad is hoping to live long enough to see her walk out of prison. And what boggles my mind is that in the beginning, Aaron really didn't show remorse for what she had done. She only started to show remorse after she realized what she had done. And Terry got a lot of scrutiny for forgiving Aaron. Now, again, like previous stories about teenagers and relationships, Aaron had never had a boyfriend, from what I could find, prior to meeting Charlie. And with Charlie, she felt some kind of freedom and something new. And that something new was the sex and the alcohol and what it made her feel. And at the end of the day, you look at this case along with so many other cases where the girl is with the older boy and the older boy is pretty much showing her different things. Aaron was extremely sheltered from the outside world when her mom decided to homeschool them. They had been going to a Christian school, but something had happened in the school that caused Penny to decide, you know what, I'm going to take the kids out, I'm going to school them, and that's going to be that. And to me, that screams sheltered. So again, I'm not exactly sure how Aaron met Charlie. I'm going to imagine it was probably MySpace where she started talking to him and they would meet and get together and start dating. And then within 6 months, they were having sex, they were drinking alcohol, they were partying, with hopes that her parents wouldn't find out. She was wrong. Her parents clearly kept their eyes on her MySpace page. And that's what would be what hung her up and got her into the trouble that she had gotten into with her parents and would set this ball in motion. So the episode of Killer Women with Pierce Morgan, she does still sing in prison Do I think that she deserved parole? Not really. But she may have planned the murders. Unfortunately, she did not pull the triggers. She did not help in any way other than planning and allowing the boys to get into the house. So with that, I am going to go ahead and end this week's episode. And I will talk to you guys again in 2 weeks with a new story. So I hope you join me, and I will see you in 2 weeks. Bye. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Innocence Lost, Kids That Kill. Again, I'm your host, Nicole, and if you have a story or a case you would like to share with me, you can email me at innocencelostkillerkidspod@gmail.com. The Instagram page is now up and ready at Innocence Lost Kids Who Kill Pod on Instagram, and still have Innocence Lost Kids Who Kill on Facebook. So join me there or on Instagram and let me know how you like this podcast. Please rate, subscribe, and share with your friends. And thank you again for listening, and I will see you in 2 weeks. Bye.